Blog Talk Radio.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Yes. Howdy, everyone. It is Jasper Cole, and it is Thursday, so it's another show. I'm so excited because we are live. I'm coming to you from Palm Springs, California, right here in the heart of the desert. And I am so happy to welcome right now my very trusted co-host, Mr. Ralph Cole Jr. All right.
We
don't have to worry about paying music rights. We'll just sing our own damn music.
Oh my God, we are the new Sonny and Cher. Okay.
Oh my God, if it weren't COVID, we would dress as Sonny and Cher for Halloween.
That shit would be fucking hysterical. Which one would you be? I guess you'd have to be Sonny.
Probably Chaz. At this point, I look more like Chaz. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hello, planet Earth, and welcome to October. We've made it.
We have made it.
We are in our last quarter of hell. So,
well, listen, be careful what you wish for. It can get a lot hotter in hell, right? Burn, baby, burn. Yeah.
Global warming, baby, whatever. But anyway, things are good. I'm glad to be back with you, Jasper. And I know that we have a lot of projects and things going on that are pending. You know, I know it's always so secretive, or we're trying to be mysterious about our various projects. But Planet Earth, so you know, we cannot always divulge things because our producers want to keep things as under wraps as they can, so mm-hmm. It will be a surprise to the public. You know, if we divulge.
Oh, hold on, Ralph. I've got to put my hula hoop down. Sorry. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
well, then,
sorry about that.
Then,
I was hula hooping.
Okay. Well, no worries. Let me put my take my swimming cap off then, too, bitch. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Everyone, please remember that you can follow us on at Jasper Cole Says, SAYS. On Twitter and Instagram, or you can just go to 101 with Jasper Cole. And Ralph is at Ralph Cole Jr. We got to get that out there. And then also go to my website, jaspercole.com, and you can find everything that's happening with the show there. But yes, because, you know, we are counting our steps and hula hooping and macrameing and whatever people can do to burn some calories and stay relevant, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regardless of what the producers say.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all we can do. You know, I'm glad to see that a lot of people are still adhering to quarantining. And, you know, for some, Jasper, I mean, planet Earth, we never take anything for granted, and everyone's situation is different. Jasper and I are grateful that we have an environment that we're able to live in and have a relatively pleasant time. And I know a lot of people are not going through that, and it's very hard on people, but things are changing. There does seem to be a modicum of progress. So that's all encouraging, and that's all we can hope for. You know, again, we're all in the middle of this together, of a lot of unknowns. And for people like myself, whom are binary and like to have just definitive answers, that just can't
but
be.
But you're
right
not
now.
Gender fluid or pansexual, right? You're just binary.
I'm just binary. I'm gay. I've always just been gay with a penis. That's what I have.
So
I'm
of
very
the
simple.
LGBTQ, you're just the G.
I'm just the G.
Yeah. You're not questioning or intersex or any of that.
Yeah, and what was the term you just said, pansexual? What is that?
Pansexual, do you have sex in the kitchen? I don't know what that
with
is.
With pots and pans,
I don't know if pansexual is kind of like, your Q is questioning. Any of our listeners out there, if you know what pansexual means, please tweet us or Instagram us and let us know, because we know we're over 50 and we're trying to stay hip with the young crowd these days. I just know that they can't keep adding letters to the alphabet of the gay and colors on the gay flag. So,
well, I thought that's why they go LGBTQ plus now, and the plus would mean anybody else that decides, like, you're part animal and part human. Okay, so anybody.
Oh, here it is. Okay, pansexual, not limited in sexual choice with regard to biological sex, gender, or gender. Okay, so pansexual is everything. You can be trans. You can be. I can be attracted to you whether you're straight, bi, trans, asexual, whatever. Pansexual is just come one, come all as you are, kumbaya. I can't make a decision. I'm going to keep the whole buffet open. You know, I might want a little pussy in the morning, a little cock at lunch, and I may want.
I like my pussy and cock at night.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got a little taste. You may want that person that's got both appendages, or you just want someone that doesn't have, that ignores their sexual regions, their
both
narrow
appendages
regions.
Is both appendages, what is a vagina an appendage?
Well, depending how big the clitoris is, can't that stick out? Oh my God, we have lost. We had 10 listeners and we don't have any now. So,
okay, so then me just.
So basically, it's just you and I talking, which is how it should be anyway.
Okay, well, let me just bring it down. Gutter. Could be finer than vagina in the morning. Nothing could be sweeter than to lick and suck and eat her in the morning.
Oh my God.
Some people like bacon and eggs, but I just like my head between her legs. Oh, nothing could be finer than to be in your vagina in the morning.
Well, speaking of fluffy, juicy vaginas, I want everyone to know that I had lunch in my home with the one and only Dish with Dara Zane, Scully Evans now. Scully Evans, because as some people may or may not know, Dara has remarried her. She has remarried her first husband for the second time, Steve Evans, and she's in Palm Springs for the weekend. I've not seen her since the pandemic. Now, here's an example where when you talk about feeling safe, but yet not paranoid, we've both been tested. She arrived. I had lunch ready in our kitchen. We sat at the table together. There was no hugging, no greeting, no touching. We didn't wear masks and we were fine with that. And we had an amazing visit, and she was here for almost 3.5 hours.
Oh.
But it was so great because she came on the day that we were going to be doing our show. And, you know, we were the original team, and we were together for 4 years, Ralph?
Four or five, actually.
Yeah,
going on five, because you've been doing one-on-one for five. Oh, my God, I just got goose pimples. I love Dara so fucking much. She, like Planet Earth, like Jasper said, we all started out together, and she did the entertainment portion. But she is just lovely, pragmatic, real, and to the point. And I always loved Dara going, I don't give two fucks. Mm-hmm. I don't give two fucks about anything. And she was just very clear about her opinions and just had so much fun with her. We still interact with each other on Facebook occasionally, so that's always nice. But what a nice surprise. And you explained your situation really well. You both have been tested negative, so that gives you a modicum of safety or comfort. I'm sure you weren't sitting right on top of each other at the table while your masks were
on.
Was Dennis there too?
Well, Dennis has been working. He came in a couple of hours later. By then we were, you know, first we sat in the living room, across the living room from each other, and visited. And then by the time he came, we had gone back to the living room and were across the room from each other. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, other than that initial instincts to want to hug someone when you see them, you know,
mm-hmm.
nothing's changed. I mean, we did air kisses from a distance and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And even Dennis had to catch himself when he first came in the back, the kitchen door, and mm-hmm. Dara was there. He started to kind of go towards her. And then right when I was about to say something, he caught himself, you know, and he was mm-hmm. like, oh, that's right. You know, kiss, kiss from a distance. So, but, you know, I mean, I talked to her twice a week anyway, but we realized, you know, we just have not physically seen each other. So it was so great to reminisce about the beginning years on the radio, and her life has changed so much in the last
few years,
and she's in a wonderful place, and Kevin's in a great place, and the boys are in a great place. It's just, she's a testament. She and I were saying today about, you have to just try to live in the moment mm-hmm. and not try to predict of what you think is going to happen in the future. Because
mm-hmm.
if she had tried to say 2 years ago, this is where her life would be, there's
it
just
would
no
not
way.
Have. Yeah. No, it's so refreshing to hear that all the entities are dealing with it fine. The boys, Kevin and her.
Oh, the boys love Steve. They love Steve. I don't think Kevin has met Steve yet, but they will eventually. It's all fine. And then Steve's daughter loves Dara, who she lives in London. So, you know, it's just a thing about when things that are supposed to happen the way they happen, and we have a choice in the moment how we're going to react to it. You know, how we're going to. Let me also say, I had therapy this morning, so if I, you know, because everyone knows I have an AA and. I have an AA in the junior college in psychology. So, but no, I even tell my therapist that, we crack up. But I had in therapy today, we did our teleconference, and we were kind of talking about that as well. Like, if COVID's done anything, the best thing it's done is teaching people just to try to live in the moment and be grateful. And mm-hmm. we can't predict what's going to happen. I wanted to say on that quick note that I've gotten so many great, you know, support and messages about my hate crime attack that happened back in June. And I haven't really talked much about it because it's been an ongoing investigation, but I wanted to let people know that we do have a suspect. And tomorrow at 3:00, I will be going to do the in-person police lineup where I'll be IDing the person. I'm almost 95% sure it's him based on the photographs. But mm-hmm. and there's a lot of other things that tie him to it that I can't talk about. But tomorrow is they need my final police lineup identification. He is already in jail for an attempted homicide. So I kind of really was very lucky, obviously. I want to just get this out there. They're in Palm Springs. We are dealing with gang activity from Desert Hot Springs, which is a smaller town over in the Coachella Valley. At Desert Springs High School, there is a black gang and a Latino gang. And, you know, Ralph, it's like, imagine when the Crips and the Bloods in LA were first starting out, like 40 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 35 total gang members right now between the two gangs and this one high school. So all of these kids are 15, 16, and 17 years old. And the Palm Springs police and the detectives for the last year and a half are on top of this, and they're trying to clamp down and get them now so it doesn't turn into a Crips and the Bloods. So mm-hmm. this particular young man was already on their radar, and based on phone records and based on what they know about him, they think that my attack was his initiation into the gang.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his very first one, because 3 weeks later it escalated to an attempted homicide. And what tends to happen, and I feel like, honestly, I've had a tutorial in gangs because I spent like 2 hours last week with the detective. And he was explaining to me that they are initiated with one initial attack. They usually try to make it a hate crime or a robbery. And then they escalate. They have to prove themselves. The next time it has to be a much bigger crime, eventually sometimes turning into a murder. And so,
well, I thought this guy did murder another gay man.
No, it was my mistake to some of the people I spoke to. Well, it wasn't my mistake. I was told by the detective that it was a homicide. It was an attempted homicide. The person lived. Thank God the person that he attacked is alive, but barely. So he is in jail now for attempted homicide. My charges would now be a hate crime and attempted robbery with a hate crime, which carries an additional 13 to 15 year sentence. So
I see.
And I've said before that, you know, I'm not going to ever identify someone that I'm not 100%, but just so planet will understand, there's no coincidences in life. When this first happened to me, I told my husband Dennis that the guy looked like the actor Freddie Rodriguez from 6 Feet Under. I said, Dennis, that's all I can tell you. He looked like that actor. So when I was in Palmdale last month shooting the movie, Dennis was watching the local news, and this story came on about this attempted homicide and this kid, and they put his picture up, and Dennis said, oh my God, that looks like Freddie Rodriguez. So I'm in my hotel room. Dennis goes online. He pulls up the article. He sends it to me. Ralph, the moment I opened it, I saw the picture and I was like, oh my God, that's him. I knew immediately, you know. So I emailed the detective and I said, I'm away working, but I have a strong feeling this is the guy. Didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks. And then he got back to me last week and I went in and met with him. And that's when I got the full story on this particular individual, the whole history of the gangs, and where where this person is right now. And so I got the call yesterday that I'm to come in tomorrow at 3 o'clock and do the actual police lineup, which listeners will understand, in my acting career, I have actually been in situations where I was part of a police lineup playing a bad guy. You know, it's just so surreal now that it's a part of my real life. But in conclusion, all I can tell you is any criticisms I may have had of the police departments here or the detectives, I have to rescind those because I understand now what they were doing and what they were working on and why it was so important that the story not get out there. Because the most fascinating thing, Ralph, is when they first sent a warrant to this guy's house after the homicide, attempted homicide, when they went into his residence, they found all the different stolen property. They keep them like trophies so they can use them to show the other gang members, look what I did. And there was my iPhone as part of the cash, you know, that he had. So there was that. And then there was phone records of his phone used to place him in this vicinity on the night of my attack.
Oh, I didn't realize that your phone had been stolen.
Oh, God, yeah. They took my iPhone. That's all they got from me. Remember I had to get a whole new iPhone?
Oh, right. I remember you getting – so when you ran away from them running home, you didn't have a phone on you.
The last thing I saw was this particular guy scrambling, running – scrambling on the – reaching down and grabbing my iPhone. Yeah, but I had my ear pods in my ear. So I was still connected to my phone as I ran away for a short distance so I could still talk to JR.
Oh, wow.
And see, when your iPhone gets stolen, you give them the serial number and everything off the phone. And so they have that. But it's fascinating to me that all these months later, they would hold on to the properties. But like I said, he explained to me that that's their trophies. That's how they're able to move up in the gangs by saying, you know, and this particular guy is 5'1". Remember I said he was small? He was like a kid. And he's only 17 years old.
How did you have access to your serial number from your phone?
It's on the box, and also my phone was registered. So when you have your iPhone, you get it. It's immediately registered with AT&T or the Apple Store. But I actually saved my box, so it has the serial number on it. And then, you know, a lot of people don't know. I didn't know this. Even though your phone is turned off and you stop it, the police have a way of tracking it. So if they have the serial number, they can find it. But in my case, they couldn't get the phone. They just happened to find it as part of the attempted homicide investigation. Well,
I mean, I guess it's not conclusive, but isn't it pretty sure that this is the guy if they found your phone in his residence?
And his actual cell phone records place him
in the vicinity.
On the actual night of the attack. So
right. And then my other comment I wanted to make is when you go in tomorrow to line up, it's going to be, I would assume, a very visceral feeling as soon as those guys walk out onto the stage. Because your muscle memory and just your memory of that horrible event, you'll see this little guy and be like, fuck, that is him. You know? So.
Yeah. Well, I'm praying that case, you know, I don't know if they purposely might put some guy that looks similar. I don't know if they go that far, but, remember, not everybody has to be an actual prisoner.
Oh, right, right. Oh, my God. It sounds so much like an audition.
I mean, I'm surprised SAG is not casting actors for that.
Well, I know. I was going to say, because I was going to be hired once years ago. Remember that guy that directed me on Cold Case? He subsequently hired me to be a perp portrayal, a perp, where I was going to be one of those people that walked through the lineup. So I guess SAG does hire those actors sometimes like that. But because it's funny you mentioned SAG, because I was like, well, God, this is so much like an audition. It's like, well, we'll have two convicts that look similar, and then we'll have a really tall one, and we'll just see what the witness says then, you know. And then, like you were saying with the gangs, it's like you move up in the ranks based on what you've stolen. So if you've stolen an iPhone, it's like, well, that's only an iPhone 8, bitch, so you ain't moving up no ladder right now. If it had been an iPhone 11, then okay, Manuel, Jesse, whatever, you are. And I said Manuel not to be racist, but because that's the first name that came to me after you told me what his name was. Yeah, that's the way I am.
Well, stand back, stand down, not stand, stand back and stand by, Proud Boys. But listen, speaking of that, we're so excited to have our special guest today because Ralph and I are dying to talk a little bit about the first debate, and I wanted to wait to bring on the amazing Brian Dunkelman because not only is he hilarious and smart, but he has a very astute political mind, and he's been immersed in the politics as well, and you can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Dunkelman. D-U-N-K-L-E-M-A-N on Instagram. It's the Brian Dunkelman. He is in the Newman Thomas management family, and I'm so happy to welcome him at this time. Hey, buddy, welcome to One on One with Jasper. Okay. Hey, Brian, how are you? Brian, are you there?
Can you hear me? Can you?
There you are. Yes. Can you hear us?
There we go. Hey, thanks for having me on, you guys. I'm very excited. I have this acting gig. I've never done this before. I'm in a police lineup, like playing a potential criminal.
Oh, really?
I don't know anything about the case, but it's going to be really fun.
Oh, look,
well,
did your agent just call you? It's a last-minute audition, Brian. Did your agent just call you about it?
You know, I don't want to talk about how I got this gig. Listen.
Right. Please don't. Not with your manager on the phone. Absolutely.
By the way, you guys, I'm starting a new organization called the Ashamed Boys. I'm looking for members. If anybody feels disgraced.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I don't think anybody is ashamed anymore to be
shame
a racist.
Is dead.
Shame is dead.
Shame is
well,
over.
Brian, say hi to Ralph, my co-host. He's also a Newman Thomas family member.
Brian, hello. I am so happy to meet you. Like I wrote you, I've heard so many great things about you from Jasper. So when I found out last week that Brian Dunkelman was our next guest, I was like, oh, great. Now I can sample this hilarity in virtual person.
No pressure,
well, here
Brian,
it is.
At all.
It started already.
Yeah. No. So, Brian, welcome. I can't wait to hear your stories and your political take on things.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, I've been listening to the show. I tuned in a little bit late. You guys are right into in the middle of something. I just want to clarify. A pansexual is not someone who has sex with pans. Is that
right,
I just pictured
right.
that jerking off into a skillet. That's not what
well,
it is.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I said maybe in the kitchen, but I actually took the time to Google it. But basically, Brian, what it said was not much better. It basically said not limited in sexual choice in regard to biological sex, gender, or gender identity. So it's kind of like just come one, come all, anything goes, I guess.
Options wide open. I like that. You're casting a wide net.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, not limited to a penis.
Anything that moves through, right?
I think so, pretty much. I won't be labeled to whatever, wherever I stick it, I guess.
I love that our guest said jerking off into a skillet. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, that's the kind of show that we do, Planet Earth. Yeah, we're very guttural and earthy here. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering if I could swear, and then I tuned into the show, and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You're good to go. Pretty much anything goes.
Oh,
anything
my
goes.
God. We fucking encourage that, you know, because we have both been on shows before, Jasper and I, where it is like, can't say this, don't overlap, girl, make sure the other person has finished their sentence and all that shit. And Jasper and I are like, what? Please, just say whatever the fuck you want and keep going.
Talk over each other. Who cares? That's it.
Okay.
I've been telling Brian, well, Brian knows that I think Brian also would be a great radio host, and I can tell you we're not opposed to working on that down the
I'm
line,
available.
But you're available. Absolutely. But Ralph and I had wanted to talk politics in the opening, and I said, no, I want to get Brian on first, but I just want everyone to know that Brian's got a lot of new stuff happening. He's got a big project that he's working on that, of course, when that is complete, we will have you back to, of course, promote it. But,
yeah,
I mean, basically, it's kind of encompasses everything that you're great at doing. And it's also revealing a lot of stuff people don't know about you. And it's all going to be in one-stop shopping. So they can get it all at one time.
Yeah, it's not going to be for the faint of heart, my friend. I did some editing just the last couple nights, and I have something for you to look at. But this is going to be – listen, I'm not leaving anything on the court. It's the full story. It's my life story. And I think it's going to be pretty entertaining. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm very excited about it.
Well,
we're excited to see it. It sounds like a lot of people might be jerking off into a skillet about it, Brian.
Maybe you can add that scene in if you haven't thought about
jerking
it.
Jerking off in a skillet with Dunkelman. There's your cooking
okay,
show.
Okay, yeah. And he, listen, Brian Dunkelman gives panhandling a new name.
literally.
Hey, well, you got to be safe. Put on an oven mitt.
Well, I mean, you don't need any spray pan in the pan. That's for nonstick.
No,
I don't know how.
No jizz in the skillet. That's my rule.
Oh, my God. Yes. But, you know, a lot of people may not know, or they may know that Brian is a father. He has an amazing son. And during this whole pandemic, Brian, you've been able to really spend a lot of time with your son, and also if people go on your Instagram, they can see and Twitter a lot of the great posts. How are you doing the homeschooling as well?
Yes, I am. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Look, this coronavirus it's a tragedy, and my heart goes out and my deepest sympathies to anybody who's lost a loved one, anybody who's lost work or lost their businesses, but I think that I am one of the very few people whose life has gotten drastically better since it started, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I say probably mid-March when this hit, I thought, well, wait a minute. You're telling me I don't have to work, I can't be evicted, and you can't turn my power off? That's a fucking dream. That has been my goal for the last 30 years. It's why I got into show business. This has been amazing.
And you can get unemployment.
Well, you're goddamn right. I'm sorry, but between unemployment, EIDL, and PPP, this is like the best quarter I've had in 15 years.
Okay.
Winning.
You keep that
winning.
Cheese coming.
Get the government cheese. Yes.
Brian, how old is your son?
My son is 7 years old, and he's in the other room playing Fortnite right now. So.
Okay. I wanted to laugh when Jasper said, oh, well, you know, Brian has been able to be at home with his son, spending a lot more time with him. And I wanted to just jokingly say to convince him that you are actually his father. Okay.
Well,
he is my kid. There's no doubt.
No DNA test needed for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
That is excellent.
Well,
it's been great, guys. I got divorced on February 5th of this year, so I got to experience like 5 weeks of joy, and then what the fuck is happening now? Look, what I'm trying to say is, I've been doing a lot of drinking, smoking a lot of pot, playing a lot of video games, barely leaving my house, and then the pandemic hit. I've been preparing for this for a long time. My life has not changed that much.
Oh, I love
well,
it.
Comedian, obviously, you know, that's COVID put a dent in any kind of live performing. Have you done any of the Zoom comedy stuff? I've gotten invites to a lot of these Zoom comedy shows online or anything. Have you done any of that yet or no?
You know, the funny thing is that you know, I've been going through a very long divorce and custody battle process, and I stopped doing stand-up and I did not go on stage for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just had to make the decision. It's more important for my child to develop emotionally and mentally than it is for me to be on stage around the country talking about my dick. So I made that decision, and I just started doing stand-up again. I've been doing it maybe 9 or 10 months and really starting to finally get my legs back, and then COVID hit. So I think it's clear God doesn't want me to do stand-up.
I wanted to ask, do you think you're during the 5 weeks of bliss that you had after the divorce, when the pandemic came, do you think your former wife was screaming to the rooftops, karma, bitch, fucking karma?
Go from an awful, awful marriage to a global pandemic. It's just the hits keep coming.
Okay.
The simulation fucking sucks, by the way. Let's hit reset.
Yeah, let's refresh. The foundation was shaky, so let's just knock the whole fucking building down and start over, basically.
Start over, right.
I mean, really. We had a good run. You know what? To answer your question, I'm sorry I didn't answer. I did one Zoom show. Listen, doing stand-up with no crowd response, I've been doing that for 20 years. I've done enough of that shit.
Yeah. I was going to say you should be used to it by now, I guess.
You know, it's right up my alley.
I know. Well, ergo, why you jerk off into a skillet? You are no stranger to being a solo sexual person, Brian.
Well,
okay?
That's, you know, I push boundaries.
Okay.
Yes.
You push the envelope. Well, that's what those pansexuals do. They push all kind of boundaries. They never can be labeled. It's like, you were having sex with that woman. Yes, I was. You were having sex with that dog. Yes, I was. You were having sex with that man. Yes, I was.
Listen,
come as you are.
It's not a child. Fuck anyone. Fuck
that's
anything.
Right. That's right.
Inanimate. As long as it's not a kid, do what the fuck you want. Have
well,
a good time.
Speaking of douchebags, have you always been somewhat political in your comedy? And has Trump being in office for the last 4 years, when you got back into comedy, did you do political jokes this last time around?
I've got to tell you that one of the last gigs that I did before I kind of just my life got put on hold is I hosted the Billboard Touring Awards. Now, I got a call from my agent at the time at 7 a.m. He woke me up. He's like, Dunkelman, you hosted the Billboard Awards. And I thought, that doesn't fucking seem right at all. On ABC? He's like, no, it's the Billboard Touring Awards. I'm like, oh, well, that makes more sense.
Right.
So I'm getting paid $1,000. I got to do 5 minutes on top. Okay. And guys, it was the night before the election.
Oh,
exactly.
My
4 years
God.
Ago. So I wrote a monologue. I'm like, I'm not going to do stand-up. I'm going to write a monologue. Everybody assumed Hillary was going to win. I was going to open with, oh my God, I'm so happy I could just grab someone by the pussy. But it didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
So I had to rewrite everything at like 2-3 in the morning, and it just tanked. The guys working the teleprompter when I was doing it for them to put it in, they were howling. Not so much the people in the crowd.
Okay.
everybody stopped.
Everybody was so, they were, we were just like we've been shot through the head. Nobody could think. We were just so numb.
We were in shock. And maybe there were some, probably some Trump supporters there because I hammered on them pretty good. But listen, I'm the kind of guy, I was 4.5 minutes through my set. That's all I had to do. Just do 30 more seconds, Brian, and start giving out the awards. But no, I couldn't let it go. It was not going well. John Bon Jovi was being honored. He's right in the front. I just happened – John Bon Jovi. Doesn't John Bon Jovi look amazing, everybody? They all clap. I get my gratuitous applause. I'm like, I tell you what, I would let him grab me by the pussy anytime. And I heard one guy – in the audience go, really? That's how much it takes. Dead silence, just one, really?
And you're like, good night, folks. Thank you very much.
And then we put it on autopilot, get my check, and get the fuck out and go home and jerk off in a skillet.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got that joke in at the end.
Brian, you are fucking hilarious. I love it, really. It's like, wow, tough crowd. Okay.
Wow. Well, let me ask you. So obviously we're going to – did you watch the debate? That's my question.
I did watch the debacle.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's fucking shameful we're at this point.
And
listen, I'm not going to make any – you know whose side I'm on. But, like, we shouldn't be in a place where the former vice president of the United States is telling the sitting president to shut up and that he's a clown. But that's
and
where
a
we are.
And a racist.
What the fuck
called him a racist.
What are you going
to
do?
I agree.
Right. And that the former vice president says, you are the worst president we have ever had.
I mean, you can't write this shit.
He's got to take shots back.
I agree.
I don't know. It's just, like I said, this simulation is fucking terrible.
What do you guys think about not having any more debates? I didn't even want to have this one. I mean, I'm fine if – I hope Trump decides not to do it. Apparently, he's not agreeing to the – they want to change the rules for the next two, I guess, and you know he's not happy with the suggestion. So maybe he'll drop out, and that way Biden won't look like he dropped out. You know,
well, Biden can't drop out. That's all Trump will say until the election day is he's afraid, so he can't.
Right.
But,
that somebody put a meme.
When we do a set in a club in L.A. and we go over our time and they flash the light and we still keep going, guess what they do? They turn the fucking mic off.
That's right. And
well,
that's what they're threatening. That's what they're threatening to do at the next one. Although the next one is a town hall setting, but that's not going to keep Trump from just because there's, you know, real live voters asking him questions. That doesn't mean he won't cuss them out too.
Well, I want to watch the Kamala one and see how that one goes next week.
Yeah. I do
and,
too.
I agree with you, Brian, about what you're saying, that look at the point where we're at now. We're watching these two grown men. Actually, it was three elderly white men talking at the same time. I mean, talk about overlap, Jasper. I mean, you know, poor moderator
Chris Wallace.
You know, I'm the moderator here. It just becomes so embarrassing. But Brian, did you see the meme of Samuel Jackson? And it just says, "I said 2 minutes, motherfucker."
That's right. I would pay to watch that debate. Well, you know, they're still talking about Joe Rogan doing.
Oh God, I would pay to see that.
I think Joe Rogan's great. I've only met him once. It was a long time ago when I was on The Man Show when he was hosting. But I've listened to him for years. A lot of people give him, he's got a bad rap because he puts people on that people say shouldn't have a platform. He likes to hear both sides. He wants to learn. He wants to understand. And when you have two people, if you can get both of those guys to talk nonstop for 3.5 hours, that's where you're exposed.
That's where
you know what your real thoughts are. What's really going on in your head? Who you are as a person? And I think that's important. 2 minutes. I can't jerk off into a skillet in 2 minutes. Look, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to repeat. But
maybe
I think that would be a more long form is the way it's got to go.
Well, you know, it's funny because in the beginning of the debate, I said, Dennis, I said, oh, wow, you know, I'm good for Chris Wallace. He's actually trying to stand up. But it's funny. He's just been annihilated as well. People have gone after Chris Wallace, criticizing that he didn't do anything. I thought, well, fuck, he did. He tried as much as he could to jump in there, you know, and stop
yeah.
it. So, I mean, I don't know why he's getting criticized because
I don't know what else
he could have done besides walk off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at one point, Chris Wallace said to the president, do you want to come and sit here?
Right.
Do you want to come and moderate? You know, so when the moderator says that, you know, you've just hit rock bottom because it's like,
well, you're giving up your power when you say that. That's like a comedian saying, you want to get up here and do this? You don't
mm-hmm.
want to do that.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so
a good
get
point.
Up there. You've got
that's
the mic.
A good point.
You're in charge.
You know,
because that's the moderator. That's the moderator agreeing that he's losing control, right? It's him.
Exactly.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
And it's
exactly
like, Brian, it's, you know, and it's so like people said online, if he's a petulant child. I mean, look at how the dialogue goes back and forth. You're the worst president we've ever had. Well, your son did cocaine, motherfucker. So what about that? Yeah, my
right.
son did
cocaine.
Right.
Do you know what that means? I'll tell you right now what that means. Your son did cocaine. That means my son is doing cocaine.
Right.
You're on drugs. That means I'm on drugs.
I'm on drugs.
You're a liar.
Absolutely.
That means I'm a liar. It's not that hard to figure this guy out. And
oh,
I'm
no,
he
telepaths everything.
This guy is so transparent. It's so easy to figure him out, and yet these stupid people have no idea. I need to delete Facebook is what I need to do because
yeah.
I just accept every friend request I get. I never
Me
got
too.
A fan page.
Me too, Brian.
You know
Me
how
too.
I got on Facebook? It was probably 20 years ago. Maybe I would just say 18 years ago. And I was home in my hometown. I saw the mayor of my town. He's like, oh, hey, my son says he's been talking to you on Facebook. I said, I'm not on Facebook. There was a guy pretending to be me. I found out who it was. It was some high school kid pretending. Like, how big a loser do you have to be to
Brian.
Pretend to be Brian fucking Dunkelman? Like, way to shoot for the stars.
way to set the bar. He set the bar really low, right? Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
He's like, what's attainable? I'll pretend to be Brian Dunkelman. So that's why I'm on, and I accept all these friend requests. And you know what got me? I was very affected when the riots started happening here in L.A.
Yeah.
I was with my kid. We weren't leaving the house much at all, but we were going to the park to work on his baseball. It's the one thing we were doing. Driving home, my phone went off like an emergency broadcast system alert, really
right.
loud, freaked us out. Curfew has been moved up from 7 to 6. It was 20 minutes to 6.
Oh.
So I'm here. I'm watching it. I'm watching everything happen. I got so – I just took in visually so much violence and
mm-hmm.
so much hatred and so much horror that when I watched him order that part cleared out with tear gas and rubber bullets so he could walk over there and hold a picture of to get a picture with him holding a Bible, I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
And I immediately just went on Facebook, and all I did was I posted a picture of that wall that they were building around the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put that picture, and I said, build that wall, coward.
Mm.
And then just
Good.
Watched them all scurry. Because I needed to get my anger out. I needed to do something. I can't fuck with hecklers anymore. I
right.
miss it. So all these fucking assholes just, who are you talking? And then the personal attacks
mm-hmm.
to me.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. Why do they take it so personally?
I know.
This guy shits on a gold toilet. You think that he has any – he does think you're disgusting.
Yes,
that's
he does.
That he's called, maybe this is a busting in disguise. We won't have to shake hands with those disgusting people. He thinks his supporters are disgusting. There's no
of
doubt
course.
In my mind. And yet they're so personally offended when you attack him. And then they – so I just started, like, you're fucking gone. Anybody who comes after me, you're gone. And then I would take a picture of me blocking them. And so, you know, and then people are posting pictures of people eating popcorn. Now people get – you know, they got a kick out of it. But I need to do something to express the feelings that I'm having. And it's tough because I got people I grew up with that are Trump supporters. And I can't understand it. I
well,
cannot
Jasper,
understand.
Brian,
Jasper,
here's the
Jasper
same way. He's friends
fucking
with Brian Kemp.
Well, here's the thing, Brian, I don't get. I mean, you've been in show business a long time. So anybody that's been in this business, you know, who's ever been around Trump or knew Trump, I mean, you know what, we've all known what a joke he was for all these years. And I say is like, okay, if you voted for him in 2016, that was bad enough, right? But I get it. Not everybody follows show business, or not everybody watches TV, or they don't know who he is. But if you're still supporting him now, 4 years later, I can't even have a conversation with you. Like, there's nothing.
That's the same way I feel.
There's nothing we could ever talk about. Yeah.
People that are getting conned don't know that they're being conned.
Right.
They don't know who this guy is. I have talked to too many people who have given me firsthand accounts of their experience with them.
Yeah.
When you hear firsthand how big a scumbag somebody is so many times, and then it's, you know, and these people on Facebook, they're not on Twitter. How can you have an opinion when you haven't read its fucking diary for
right.
like 10 years like I have? You don't
right.
know. You're not informed. You don't know what's going on. You don't know the reason that he went and did that fucking Bible picture stunt is because he was so pissed people were calling him bunker bitch on Twitter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why he did it. That's why. The only reason he ran for president in the first place is because Obama made fun of him at the press.
Yes. Meeting. Well,
that's
let me tell you.
That's the only reason he ran. The only reason he's trying to undo every single fucking thing that man did. Because he's a petulant baby.
I encourage everybody to buy, listen, or read Michael. I'm just in the middle of listening to Michael Cohen's book. And I'm going to tell you guys, he lays it out from day one about Obama and how the whole thing happened. And there's a fascinating story about, you know, he almost ran in 2012 against Obama.
Right.
And the only reason he didn't is he got this huge contract for another season of The Apprentice.
Right.
Trump did have a great line that he used, that Michael Cohen used. He said, Trump said, allegedly, no, I believe Michael Cohen. He said to Michael, I'm going to, you know, I promise you I'm going to run in 16, but I can't walk away from this. He said, Michael, you don't leave Hollywood. Hollywood leaves you. In other words, you know what I mean, guys? He was like saying, you don't walk away when they're still giving you money.
Right.
You know, you wait until no one's asking for you or trying to give you money.
True.
So that's what kept him from not running against Obama the second term. But yeah, the book I listened to Mary Trump's book. I listened, and now I'm doing Michael Cohen's, and I have to tell you, it's been really insightful to just how he was created by the family and what makes him tick right now. And did you ever in all the years of comedy, did you ever have any interaction with anyone around him or Atlantic City or any? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's where I've heard the stories. That's where I've heard about the rampant use of the N-word. That's why, you know, you've heard it constantly talking about fucking, you know, underage girls. That's how I know these things. And I get in these fights on Facebook and I say, listen, you're just not as informed as I am. I said,
right.
I knew Louis C.K. was jerking off in front of women before you did. I knew Ellen was not a nice person to work for before you did.
We all knew that,
You're not, you
right.
know, and so believe us when we tell you who this fucking guy is.
Right.
But it's really your brain works differently. And by the way, if you're undecided, really there's no shame in killing yourself. Are you fucking kidding me?
If you're undecided, you need to go to a mental institution right now.
Exactly.
And you're not allowed to vote.
But,
you don't get to vote.
Listen, Jasper and Brian, this is a horrible analogy. But you're like, if you're undecided, then ... Well, that's like talking to a pansexual person. Bitch, if you're undecided, then you need to do something. Like Jason Stewart used to say.
You need to cut your dick off at this point.
Just cut. Well, Jason Stewart used to say to the lesbians, oh, pick a side and stick to it. You know?
Pick a hole and go for it.
Yeah, go.
Pick a hole and go for it.
Do you know Jason Stewart, Brian?
I love Jason Stewart.
Yeah.
Say what?
I figured you guys.
I do. I love Jason.
Oh, right. Because Jason is a friend of ours, too.
Oh, yeah, he's been. I said hello. I've always liked Jason. I did one of his radio shows many, many years ago. He's so nice.
Okay. Oh, okay, great. You know, it's so funny. I just want to bring this up. This is a stupid tangent. When you just said, Brian, about...
Well, then
you know,
I'm going to cut your mic, Ralph, so keep going.
about, you know, one hole doesn't know one from the other. Back in college, do you guys know who George C. Wolfe is?
Yes, the director.
Yes, George and I went to school together, and he had this play called Block Play, and it was such a controversial play. I went to Pomona College, and one of the lines in his play was, "You damn dick don't know one hole from another." And for some reason that stuck, Brian. Don't know why, but that stuck. You know, so when you just said that now, that came back to me. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
with
I really should. We'll edit that out, Ralph.
No problem.
We'll fix that in post. No problem.
We'll edit that out in post. Brian, Jasper and I have so much fucking fun together, and having somebody like you on the show just totally perks me and stimulates me because you're so fucking articulate.
Oh,
you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
You're hilarious. And
speaking of unfunny cunts, can we go back to Ellen for a second? Brian. Because you know, because you've been around the same thing. You know, we've all been around Ellen all these years. But you know what's funny about her? It took a long time for that to finally come out about her in the public. I mean, she really was able to coast for like 20 years on that without people knowing.
Really did. She really did have a good run.
How was she able to have that longer run, Brian, of her not being exposed to how she is?
Well, you know, she's been a success, and, you know, her show makes money. So, you know, how long she's been doing that show now? That's really, I think, where she got – I don't know how long she's been like this, but, you know, she had a rough go, and she did wonderful, wonderful things in the business for, you know, the gay and lesbian community. But you don't shit on people. You don't treat people that work for you like shit, and that's going to catch up with you. It's just going to – I know people that wrote. They all have NDAs that they had to sign.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They can't really talk about it. But you don't make the people that work for you cry. What the fuck's wrong with you?
No, exactly.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, she's just – I mean, we could go through story after story of, you know, I have a friend who won Emmys, you know, working on the Oscars, and he worked all three, or I don't know how many she's done. And Rob, you know who I'm talking about. But and this is, guys, this is somebody who will not talk about anybody. Like, you know, he's worked with everybody, and you know, I try to get messy and ask him questions. But when he actually, this is what he said one day when I brought her up. He goes, "I would take my car, run her over, and then back over her again." That's how much he hated dealing with her. I mean, it was like, God damn. So I knew if he was saying it, then it was pretty brutal. Listen, speaking of comedy, Pauly Shore, I know this is a left field term, but Pauly Shore was on Sandra Bernhardt's radio show recently. And I guess there's a documentary coming out about the Comedy Store, about Mitzi Shore. Now did you start also at the Comedy Store, or were you at the Improv, or did Laugh Factory?
No, I was an improv guy because Mitzi did not pass me. I showcased for Mitzi, and the feedback was too polished. And I didn't understand what that meant.
Uh-huh.
You mean I look like I know what I'm doing? I don't understand. And back then, I didn't take criticism well. I was like, fuck you. You know what I mean? She didn't pass Jerry Seinfeld. She didn't pass Louis C.K. What I should have done was figured out what she actually meant by that and came back and tried again. But I thought, I got the Improv in the Laugh Factory. So, no, the Improv was my home. I was there almost every night. That's where I really learned. You know, I watched everybody that I could, and that's where I really got on stage for the first time.
And that was what, Bud Friedman? Bud Friedman?
Yeah. Bud Friedman.
Well, tell us, it's interesting because – oh, go ahead. Uh-huh.
No, I was just going to say that I lived in Colorado for 1 year. When I was 24, my brother was stationed in the Air Force, and he was in England. And I hadn't seen him in 3 years, and he got stationed at the Air Force Academy. So okay. I went out there. I was just going to stay with him for the summer. Got a job at the golf course on the Air Force Academy, and then I went to the comedy club every night, and that's where I really developed. And I was seen by a casting scout from Disney, came through Denver. There was about 40 of us went on stage that night. I was the person that she kind of pulled aside, and she encouraged me to move to L.A., but I had some road gigs to finish. I finished. I moved in. It was almost my 25th birthday. I called her. She said, "Well, Brian, I've been telling you to get out here. I lost my job today." Well, fuck it. I'm here now.
Wow.
That was my intro to L.A.
Did she resurface in another – did she leave the business or did she
– No,
continue?
She still was in the business, and she's the one who got me a set at the Improv. She got me my first set there. And she actually got me a meeting with my first manager, who was really great, but she didn't have time for me because she had another kid that was a real up and comer. His name was Jimmy Fallon.
Awesome.
I don't know whatever.
Oh, whatever happened to? Yeah, whatever happened to him? He didn't go. Nothing really worked out for him.
I think
it?
It's actually pronounced Fallone. I think it's actually pronounced Fallone. Yeah. Okay.
Fallone. Uh huh. Fallatio.
Yeah,
so I think it's Jimmy Fallatio.
1996. I think that's when I moved to LA.
Okay, God. I'm really old. I moved here in 87. So, in fact, guys, just FYI, 33 years ago today, Becky and I, we moved here. We arrived and it was the Whittier earthquake, our first morning in fucking LA, and I thought it was the end of the world. I was like, oh my God.
You were here for the first day?
We drove 4 nights, you know, we drove 4 days from Georgia. We arrived the night before. We're staying down in Inglewood at a girlfriend's house, and we're waking up by this horrific earthquake, and we thought it was the end of the world. We were like, fuck.
Oh, God.
Get us the fuck out of here. And
but wait a second. Today is the anniversary. I thought it was the 29th.
29th is when we left on the driving on the road.
Oh, left here. Okay, so that's why. Because I always associate you and Dennis meeting. You were by yourself for 10 years before you met Dennis.
Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but Becky and I arrived. Anyway, so when you said that, I was like, God, 87. But Ralph is born and raised here, so he had been through other earthquakes. But I think at that point, you know, each one becomes the biggest until the next one.
Oh, right. I was in the 1971 one, Brian, and that shit scared me so badly that I announced that day, I will be moving to New York the day I graduate from college, okay? Because in my mind, I was like, well, they don't have earthquakes in New York. My aunt lived there. It seemed it was a bustling city. I wanted to have that life, and I stayed true to my word. And I graduated from Pomona College in Claremont, California, drove my friend's car to San Francisco, and then moved to New York, goddammit, and I was there for 20 years.
Wow. I know. That's amazing.
You know,
so
we all have
you,
our very
if you grow up, if you grow up in L.A., it's like you want to leave L.A., and then the rest of us, we're trying to get to LA, you know, so we come in from somewhere else.
Right. Or,
yeah.
Or
yeah, I grew up in Buffalo. I didn't want to go from snow to snow.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You wanted to get out to the sunshine. And, you know, you've had an amazing journey, and it's certainly continuing on. And as I said to everyone in the beginning, we're going to be keeping in touch and letting you guys know about this project that Brian's working on. And in the meantime, because time flies, I can't believe it. It shows we've got 2 minutes left. In the meantime, everyone can follow you. I know.
Let me tell you about one project real quick.
Yes.
A guy that I got to be friends with on Facebook, a teacher, and he's an aspiring filmmaker, and he's done some projects, and he had a project that he wanted me to be a part of. And he was going to try and do a short film and have it be SAG and everything. And I was going to fly out to do it. And this was around the end of the year, first of the year. And obviously COVID put the kibosh on it. But he took the initiative and he said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it remotely. And I'm going to do the exteriors where I live with actors that are local. And it's called Jesus v. Satan, Rise of the Zombies. It's about a 30-page script, so I don't know what it's going to be cut down to, and I'll let you know on my social media where you can see it. It's really funny. It's political satire. It's about a fictional town called Eden Island, and a mysterious virus swipes through, And a rumor that's going to kill half the population. Well, it turns out to be a total hoax. It didn't kill half the population. It just turned half the population into zombies. But people think the zombies are fake. And then there's basically an election between Jesus and Satan for mayor, and everybody is supporting Satan because he's the Republican conservative candidate, and Jesus, well, you're a fucking socialist. It's really smart. It's really funny, and I play like a Tucker Carlson type. So can go to Twitter at Brian Dunkelman. On Instagram, I'm at the Brian Dunkelman. And Facebook, if you want to see me pick fights with Trump supporters, it's pretty entertaining.
Well, listen, you know I'm one of your biggest fans, and so I think you're just one of the smartest guys I know, and we're so happy you came on the show today. And I'll be in touch. Let's catch up about the other project, and you can update me on that.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, buddy, thank you so much.
Brian, thank you.
Stay safe.
Ralph,
and,
it was wonderful to meet you. I can't wait to meet you in person. And I really, really enjoyed this. Thank you guys so much for asking me to be on.
You're very welcome.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Brian. Take care, buddy.
And now I'm going to...
Wow.
Great interview.
His
energy
is so great. I was so eager to meet him. And everything you've said is true. He is a treat. It'll be so fun to get, like, so many of our guests. I mean, it would be great when we all get to meet in person, you know, because we have so much fun on the radio with them.
And, you know, Ralph, just between us, you know, with all the projects we have going on, there's definitely going to be a place for Brian in there, for sure.
Oh my God, there has to be. I mean, that's the whole thing about your stable. I mean, everybody in there is quality. So it's always a matter of finding the right project to just plunk them right the fuck in, you know? So, and I'm one of them, and I'm grateful for that. You know, not every actor can say that or have a management team that will support you and package you when they can, you know?
Well, the thing I'm most grateful for is all my clients are amazing, and I've got this great group now that we can produce together and be, my entire team of actors can fit into projects, and that's what my goal was. So it's beyond just, you know, submitting people and getting them auditions and TV roles and stuff. We want to create our own stuff. And that's, you know, that's been the greatest thing for me. Obviously, the pandemic has just been a godsend of getting projects developed because everybody was stuck at home and everyone had to take my emails and phone calls. people couldn't ignore, you know, nobody could use the excuse anymore. I'm too busy to read your script, or I'm too busy to take a meeting. But listen, Ralph, the time has flown. Thank you as always, once again. And Dara and I missed you in person, but you know what? We're all going to get together soon.
Absolutely. This was so much fun, Jasper. Thank you.
And everyone, we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Peace out. Be safe. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.